This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. I'm in studio today because it's the last Tuesday of the month, and John Martinoni is with us. If you're out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, you can see John. He's sitting here with me. We're going to get started with him in just a minute. You saw me fixing my hair. I dashed in here at the last moment because I was at the dentist this morning. But I've got to tell you, I've got the most wonderful dentist in the world. And John, he's just fantastic. This dentist is a fantastic dentist, but aside from all of that, his office is decorated with religious art. He's got statues of Our Lady. He's got statues of the Divine Mercy. He's got a crucifix in every cubicle, and I go in there, and I feel like I'm on retreat.
Is that Luis?
It is. Okay. Do you know him?
I know him.
Oh, my gosh. He's fantastic. It's Luis Cabrera.
Yes.
So if you're in the Birmingham area, you know, I just want to tell you, wonderful dentist, but Gloria, it's a beautiful office. And I always feel blessed going there, you know, so
yeah.
I never mind going to the dentist.
Yeah.
It's lovely when those things happen. You just heard from John Martinoni here. We're going to be talking about all kinds of good things as we move through our program today. But I hope you had a blessed and holy Memorial Day weekend. I hope that you said some prayers for all of those good men and women who have dedicated their lives for the freedoms of this country, and I hope that you never take those freedoms for granted. We are blessed here in the United States of America and have been for so many years, 200 and some at this point in time, but we never should take for granted those liberties that we enjoy, and so many people have sacrificed their lives. So I do hope that you said some prayers for all of those fallen heroes of our nation, and for all of the good men and women who are serving in the armed forces today. No matter which branch of the military they serve in, at any given moment in time, they could be called into very perilous kinds of situations and circumstances. So I hope that you certainly do remember them always in your prayers. Do want to remind you about a few things as we come together today. First of all, we want to hear from you. It's an apologetics day. We're going to be talking about a fascinating topic, and John is going to help us to dive right into that in just a moment or two. But we do want you to call us. So let me give you that number. You can have it at the ready. We encourage you to use it frequently, often. And, you know, we're on the air Monday through Friday. I love hearing from you here. This is your program. We love to use these airwaves for the glory and honor of God, to learn more about our faith, to inspire each other. And we can't do that all by ourselves. We need you to help. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We certainly do. Use that number. Give us a call. It's toll-free for you here in North America. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 85. So we're encouraging you to use that number outside of North America. Available for you too at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We encourage you to use that chat feature there. We want to remind you about our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of wonderful opportunities there for you. I want to highlight just a couple of those because I'll tell you what, time moves so quickly. I don't know where it goes. I really, really don't. It just flies by for me. And I'm sure that it does for you, too. The older you get, the faster it goes. But we make use of every moment that we have. We are having a couple of things coming up. I am going to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church on June the 7th. It is the feast day of the Sacred Heart. Therefore, it is the feast of their parish, right? Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, located in a very, very beautiful setting there. Wonderful church. I'm always telling you about it. It's a Maronite Rite church. Core Bishop Michael Thomas is the pastor there. My daughter and my wonderful son-in-law and all of the kids go to the Mass there. And when Jack and I are in town there, that's where we go. And really feel very close to that parish community. It's sort of like a parish away from home, especially we're in Fort Lauderdale there. But I do want you to come and join us for this beautiful day. It's going to begin with a procession of the Blessed Sacrament outside at 11 o'clock a.m., followed immediately by Mass. Then we're going to eat really good food. I'm just saying, really good stuff. We're going to be eating, and then after that, I'll be giving a one-hour presentation. So it all wraps up at 2 in the afternoon. I can't think of a better way to spend 3 hours on June the 7th, on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, right there at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. Do join us. You can get the information at our website, and you can make your reservations at the church. I think they're doing very, very well. They could be sold out at this point, but I don't think so. So why don't you check it out? June 27th, Benedicta Enrichment Seminar begins at Malvern Retreat House. Wonderful, absolutely thrilling topic that Chris McGregor is going to be presenting for us, Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. It's a day and a half seminar. It's an enrichment seminar. But for those of you that are involved in the Benedicta Institute for Women, working towards your certification in Catholic Women's Leadership, this beautiful, beautiful seminar will count for one of your graduate equivalency credits towards that certification. So I want to encourage you to check it out, make use of the opportunity. If you're not sure that you really want a certification in Catholic Women's Leadership, you should come to this enrichment seminar anyway, because it's open to everybody. And who knows, you'll have that credit. It'll be just sitting there waiting for you to follow up on the rest of it for that beautiful certification. Chris McGregor is fantastic. Had the pleasure of interviewing her a couple of times on Women of Grace Television. And she herself is a radio personality and just a marvelous, marvelous podcaster as well out there at Discerning Hearts. So I invite you to check her out, but I invite you to check us out and to join us for this Benedict Enrichment Seminar. That's going to be followed by the Women of Grace Retreat. It's our Malvern Summer Retreat. We're there every summer. This year, slightly different. We're usually there the third week of July, but guess what? That's when the Eucharistic Congress is taking place, and we're not going to compete with that. Plus, I have to be there. So that being said, we're holding the Malvern Summer Retreat the last weekend in June. So that begins on June 28th, and it finishes up on the 30th. Beautiful, wonderful, again, glorious topic, Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. Chris is going to be presenting to us again. That's Chris McGregor. I'll be presenting. And guess who's coming back? Father Ken Geraci. You wanted him back, ladies. You said to me before the retreat was over, can he come back? Can he come back? Guess what? I invited him on the spot because you wanted him. So I'm planning for you to come and join us. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time there. So just wanted to share all of that with you. There's more coming up on July. I believe it's the 7th or the 8th or the 9th. That's not very good information, is it? But we are Benedicta Institute, in a beautiful institute. For women, we're going to be offering another course towards that certification. It is an online course. We had an immersive in April. This is an online course. It begins, I think it might be the 9th. I just don't remember what that Monday is. And it will be for 5 weeks, right? One evening a week. Essentials of Carmelite Spirituality is the topic. So check it all out. You can see John Martinoni. Give him a wave there, John. There he is. He's going to be with us on the other side of the break here talking about really important things. That's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Get your apologetics question on the air and answered today. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. It is the last Tuesday of the month, and it always makes me happy because John Martinoni is with us to answer your apologetic questions. We always generally have, you know, a theme that we start off with, but we take your questions on any topic that you like, and I think it's very important. We have to know how to present the truth of our faith, right? So many people have misconceptions about our Catholic faith. We don't want them to. So I want to encourage you to call in today to get your question answered so that you can make a very reasonable presentation of what the Church really teaches about these most important truths of our faith. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can get that call on the air. 833-288-3986. We're available for you, too, out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. If you're not in a position to call in, or you would just rather do it through social media, the chat feature is what you use, and we'll get it, retrieve it, put it up on the board here. John will address it for you today. I have a couple of things I want to share with you first, though. First of all, I want you to know that EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel live every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. So we invite you to tune in for the Mass. If you can't get to Mass, this is a beautiful way spiritually to attend. Of course, we know it doesn't have the same efficacy, but by the same token, it does pull you into prayer, and it pulls you into that beautiful reality that Christ is with us always. We want to help you draw closer to our Eucharistic King. This is one of the big outreaches that EWTN offers, and something that was very near and dear to Mother Angelica's heart. And we've got a free Mass guide booklet, which includes both English and Latin text to help you follow along with the Mass on EWTN and to unite with Catholics worldwide. And that's, you know, one of the nice things to think about when you're, you know, at home there and you're participating in the Mass, at least spiritually, by way of the Mass being televised. There's hundreds of thousands of people that are joining you throughout the world. Something about that reality, that aspect of the Church militant, is very encouraging and I think very empowering. So please order that free Mass guide booklet. To do that, just go to EWTN.com/Catholicism and click the readings. EWTN.com/Catholicism and click the readings. All of that available for you out there at EWTN's website, EWTN.com/Catholicism. Ah, what a good deal that is for you, and what a good deal it is for the Church. All that being said, woohoo, here's John Martinoni. Hey, John.
Hey, Johnette, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
Had a very good weekend, just very relaxed. We cooked burgers and dogs on the grill, and my four kids were there. And
oh, nice.
We just, relaxed, and they ended up playing Clue.
Oh, one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
I really enjoy. Do you like Clue?
Well, yeah, but it's just, I just let them play. What's nice for me as a parent is to see my four children, when they come together, they all get along.
Is that beautiful?
And they get along well.
Wow.
You know, it's not like, hey, how you doing? No, they talk to each other about stuff. They do things with each other. They go to movies with each other. So it's just very, very comforting for me to know that, and I don't want to sound, macabre or anything, but that when I'm gone and my wife is gone, that my kids are still going to be family.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and that's a testimony to you and your lovely wife. I mean, you've raised them to have that close relationship, and that, you know, it's not always that way.
No.
And it is beautiful when it is, so hats off to you.
Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome. That's a beautiful thing. Well, you know, this was our 6th wedding anniversary weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well,
so
congratulations.
Thank you. On May 25th, Jack and I celebrated 6 years. And if you want to go out to our Facebook page, we've got some pictures up there for you. So just go out to my Facebook page, or I don't know. I know that we're on Instagram and Pinterest and all that stuff, but I never see that stuff because I just don't make access of it. But anyway, there's some pictures up there. Guess where we went?
Where did you go?
We went to Laurel, Mississippi.
What's in Laurel, Mississippi?
I knew you were going to ask. So there is an HGTV program, and the couple, Ben and Aaron, are from Laurel, and they do these, you know, they redo these houses for people.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And, I mean, it's a big deal. And so they've got big bullet, you know, those big, what do you call those?
Billboards
on the side of the road, you know, come to Laurel. So I've wanted to go. And so that's what we did this weekend. And we had just a lovely time. It's a cute little town. You know, it's a cute little southern town.
I've driven through Laurel, never stopped, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should stop one of these. I know that Janelle would love it.
Okay.
I just know that she would, you know, because, and you can take a tour. In a golf cart, and they'll drive you past all of the homes that they did, and they'll tell you about who's in there. And because we like that show, we know a lot of the homes. I remember that, you know. And it was just fun.
That's
fun. I mean, it was really, you wouldn't imagine Jack liking that kind of a thing, but he actually
does. No, I really wouldn't.
I know, but he actually does. So we truly enjoyed ourselves and had a really good time. You can do the whole place in about a day.
Okay.
But one of the fellows there told us that he says, you know, people come from Alaska. He said he had a group of people in his restaurant that were from India that just came all the way from India to go
to
Laurel, Mississippi because of that show.
Wow.
It's amazing. Anyway, that's what we did.
Well, I got to tell you, if I was watching a show on TV that was a home fix-it-upper from India, I would not travel to India to go see that.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either.
That's got to be kind of, that's going a little bit far.
Well, we enjoyed ourselves and had a very nice time. We went to Immaculate Conception Catholic Church there. And I want to give a shout out to Libby. Libby came up after Mass and she said, "Are you John Ed and Jack Williams?" And we said, "Yes, we are." And she said, "Oh, my goodness. I love Wacky Wednesday. I listen every," you know, anyway. So it was very, that was very sweet. But Libby, I just want to just put a little bug in your ear. If you're listening today, we would love to have you lead a Women of Grace foundational study right there in Immaculate Conception. So get in touch with Lynn O'Connor, who is our Director of Mission Growth and Expansion. She'd be happy to talk with you, Libby. So anyway, it was a lovely time. But we're not going to talk about all of that today. You know, it's always good to catch up. John and I only see each other once a month here in the show, so we have to catch up with each other.
Yes.
You know, just see what's going on. But all of that being said, you've got a really wonderful outreach. And I want you to spend a few minutes talking about the Bible Christian Society, because this is a great service to the church, friends, and a great service to you, too. And you should take advantage of it whenever you have an apologetics question. So share with us about this beautiful work that the Lord has entrusted to you.
Well, it's our website is BibleChristianSociety.com. And if you go to Christian Bible Society, you get something completely different. Okay, so BibleChristianSociety.com. And it's basically just an apologetics and evangelization apostolate. Started kind of by accident, actually. I tell people I got dragged into this apologetics thing kicking and screaming. I'm a finance guy, MBA, business, etc. But what I do is I teach people. Everything I do with the Bible Christian Society has grown out of personal experience. So it's not like, for example, I've never really talked to Mormons. So there's nothing about talking to Mormons on my website. You know, I could probably look it up and do some research and say, okay, this is how you talk to Mormons. But I've never had that experience personally, so I don't delve in that. So being in Alabama and being at a bank and being Catholic, and all of a sudden people start asking you, and this is, I'd only been back in the church for a little over a year, why do Catholics do this? Why do Catholics do that? And where in the Bible is this? And I'm like, I don't know. Why are you asking me? Well, you're Catholic. Oh, yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense. So I was always a person in school who knew everything. So when I don't know something, it drives me nuts, you know, and I, you know, there's a little bit of pride there that, so God used what is not necessarily good for the good, because out of my pride, I was like, I can't not have these answers. So I go and look them up. So I go down to the Catholic bookstore that used to be here in town and start asking about it. And this woman hands me this tape, cassette tape, says, you need to listen to this. I was like, I don't want to cassette tape. I want books that I can underline and outline and you know, all this stuff so I can do research. I'm a researcher. So the tape, turns out it was Scott Hahn's conversion story.
Oh, my goodness.
And that just was like pouring gasoline on smoldering embers. So I go back to the bank and I start answering people's questions. And then I start asking them questions after I've done enough stuff. And then they stopped asking me questions. You know? And so I took it, and everything I do, I just, okay, Catholics, this is how you talk to Protestants or to atheists, you know, because I've talked to a number of atheists as well. And I say, here's some strategies, simple common sense strategies you can use to talk to people. You don't have to, you know, have the Bible memorized. You don't have to have a degree in theology or master's degree, PhD. And I don't have a degree in theology. You know, you don't have to know all there is to know about the Catholic faith before you go out and start talking about the Catholic faith. What I tell Catholics, I say, look, excuse me, I can teach you how to talk to the head of a Baptist seminary about the Bible, even if you don't know where Genesis is in the Bible. And I can teach you still how to talk to that man about the Bible, because I've actually been in a similar situation. And I got through it. I realized they don't really know the Bible. You know, it's like that, you know, I had this conversation with this Baptist preacher, and I was like, and I barely knew where Genesis was. It's right back in the church. And just common sense and simple logic. And that's what it is. It's common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. And I teach you how to talk to Protestants. You go to my website. I've got a number of free audio talks. I think we've got 29 on there. One of them is Scott Hahn. One of them is Father Ray Ryland. Bless his soul. A married priest talking about celibate priesthood. And then, you know, all these talks on apostolic authority in the Pope, Mary and the Bible, sola scriptura, sola fide, and they're all free. Mm-hmm. And if you still have CD players in your car, you can still order CDs, and they're free. Everything's free except for the things that I did on EWTN that I have to pay for to get. So, but basically, I just charge what it costs me, maybe a little bit more for mailing and such. I've got these newsletters that you can go in and do a search on Sola Scriptura. You can find all these newsletters where I've talked about how to respond to people who are saying, no, you go by the Bible alone, or people who are saying, no, you're saved by faith alone. Works have nothing to do with it. You can look at my actual conversations with Baptist ministers, with Protestant, with evangelicals, with Protestant apologists, etc. And like I said, 98-99% of everything on there is free.
Yeah.
And so BibleChristianSociety.com, just go and check it out. And I've had people tell me, John, this, you know, just the strategies that I teach, you know, that they said, oh, this is wonderful. I've used your stuff. And you know, it's nice when you talk to somebody and you find out later, oh, my talking to them impacted them and started them on a path to the Catholic Church.
Or brought them back to the Catholic Church.
And that's wonderful, awesome, you know. But what I enjoy even more is when somebody says, I used your stuff and I brought my entire family back to the church.
Wow.
Because that's where, you know, the student has now become the teacher.
That's right.
And that's what I love to see, because I can only talk to so many people.
Right.
But those people talking to other people, multiplying it, it's just, it's an awesome, awesome thing. And so my stuff is called, I call everything I do blue collar apologetics. Mm-hmm. And because it's, again, it's not necessarily for somebody with a degree in theology. Although I've had people with degrees in theology. I've had a guy, PhD in chemistry, teaching at a university out west. He got hold of my stuff. He's like, I've never seen this stuff before. Mm-hmm. Doctors, lawyers. But then I've had 9-year-old kids use my stuff. You know, their moms will email me and say, my son got hold of your stuff, and now he's evangelizing his 9-year-old playmate. You know, so great-great-grandmothers using my stuff.
Yeah.
So it's for everybody, regardless of your level of education, and it's just easy to use, and it will keep you from running away from those conversations that Protestants particularly inevitably want you to have about the Catholic faith. And it'll teach you how to answer the questions and then ask some questions of your own.
Well, you know, and this is so important, you know, and I get a picture of you because every time you mention blue-collar apologetics, and I want you to share about your books, too, in just a minute here, but, you know, I get a picture of you rolling your sleeves up and just digging in, and that's kind of your personality, just digging in, right? I'm going to find out about this. I'm going to put it into layman's terms so that everybody is accessible to everybody, but they can make it accessible to everybody, and that's a beautiful thing, and I think it's so very, very important, and I love what you said. You know, we're never going to know everything that the church teaches, because how do you know, you know, how do you know the depths of the Catholic faith? It's all built on truth. Truth has a name. That name is Jesus Christ. You know, we're talking about infinitude, right?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, if we scratch the surface a bit, we're going to find those treasures are available to us, and we'll be able to make use of them. It's enhanced my faith, reading your materials. You know, I was already a faithful Catholic when I was reading your materials, but it enhanced my faith because I began to say, oh my gosh, look at the common sense nature of this. And that's what you delve in, is the common sense nature. So I do want to encourage you to get out to EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. John's books are there, Blue Collar Apologetics and the follow-up sequel.
You never can remember
this. I never can remember it. No, and I love it. It isn't that. It's just a long title. I get lost in it.
A blue-collar answer to Protestantism.
Yeah, and that's not hard, is it? Blue-collar answer to Protestantism. I'll remember it.
Yes. And they're kind of, you know, the first one, Blue-Collar Apologetics, teaches the strategies, teaches how to get into conversations with non-Catholics, and go from there. And then the second one gives you actual, the first half is called Problems with Protestantism, and the second half is Questions Protestants Can't Answer. And there are literally 30 questions there that you can take right off the page of the book and use in your conversations with Protestants. And it's going to kind of blow their minds, but more importantly, it's going to hopefully plant seeds of truth with them.
And that's what we want to do, right? These are not notches on a belt, right? What this is a way to present the faith in an accessible fashion and in an inviting fashion, and you accomplish that so very well. When we come back from our break, friends, we want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to be talking about the Achilles heel of Protestantism when we come back. More with John Martinoni on the other side of the break. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Stay tuned. Woohoo!
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, delighted to be with you today. Yes, I am. Eager to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. You can also join us via social media. So I'm inviting you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature. If you're out there now, you can see me giving you a little wave, saying howdy doody to you. So please do use any means that you can to join us here. John is eager to answer your questions, your apologetic questions. Marnie's with us. I'm going to ask you to hold for just a moment there, Marnie. And we've got another caller calling in. We've got room for you. This is the time to do it. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Do want to remind you about another great offering that is available to you through EWTN. I'll tell you, EWTN is everywhere. We use every kinds of media available to us to communicate the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, including podcasts. So I want you to get out to a podcast that's very near and dear to my heart. It's a great podcast on EWTN's Podcast Central. It's The Word on the Word. The Word on the Word with Veronica and Melissa. Veronica happens to be my producer for our Women of Grace television program. That is Veronica Arndt Knuckles. She was married in November to Bradley Knuckles, who does our audio. So it's just a family affair. But Word on the Word with Veronica and Melissa is absolutely delightful. It's wonderful. It gives you a deeper look at the Sunday Mass readings. You can go further into God's Word every week by watching this podcast. It's not a lengthy one. Doesn't take much time, but it packs a powerful wallop. You can hear the Word on the Word in other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world. All in one place. Where do you go? EWTN Podcast Central, EWTN.com/radio, and click on Podcast Central today. I'll tell you what, it can become addictive. I'm just warning you because the podcasts are so very, very good. Word on the Word with Veronica and Melissa. Can't wait to tell her I had the opportunity to talk about this great podcast that she and Melissa do together. It's really a lot of fun and very, very good. John, tell us now, Achilles heel of Protestantism.
Yes. The Achilles heel of Protestantism. What is the major, in my opinion, the major flaw underlying all of Protestantism is that there is no infallible authority within Protestantism. And what that leads to, you know, you talk to any Protestant, they will tell you, no man on earth is infallible. Only been one infallible man on earth, Jesus Christ. No man is infallible. So what that leads to is that when they read the Bible, which, you know, the Bible is their source of all things doctrine and morals and dogma and such. So, but there's no one to pronounce, say, well, this is what this passage means, or this is what that passage means. Or there's no one to say, no, that is not a authentic teaching of Christianity. Or no, this is an authentic teaching of Christianity. Because, Johnette, you could go to the Baptist church, I could go to the Methodist church, and I could say, well, you know, as a Methodist, we baptize babies. And you in the Baptist church say, that's wrong. Nowhere does the Bible say to baptize babies. And the Methodist can say, well, no, it's in there indirectly. You know, whole families were baptized. Plus, it's a tradition that goes way back. And the Baptist, no, that's wrong. Well, you have nobody to decide the dispute. But in Matthew 18, it tells us, verses 15 to 17, it's, if your brother sins against you, go to him. If he doesn't listen to you, take one or two witnesses. If he doesn't listen to them, where are Christians supposed to take their disputes? To the church. Mm-hmm. The church is the final arbiter. And it says in Matthew 18, 17, if he doesn't listen even to the church, then let him be to you as a tax collector or a Gentile. In other words, have nothing to do with them. Kick them out. Keep away from them. But there's no church that can act like that church in Protestantism, because no church can rule infallibly. No church can authoritatively decide an issue for all Protestants. None. No person, no church. And so you get this multiplication division, all these divisions, these denominations within Protestantism. There are literally tens of thousands upon tens of thousands of Protestant denominations, each one either with their own particular set of doctrines or their own particular line of authority within their given church or denomination. And there's all these one church denominations, and there's all these non-denomination denominations, and it's crazy, and it's all because they don't have a central authority. You know, Protestants talk about sola scriptura. We go by the Bible alone. They don't. And when I tell a Protestant, I say, you don't go by sola scriptura. He says, yes, I do. I said, no. You go by sola, my fallible interpretation of scriptura. And that's very important for Catholics to realize. When a Protestant is talking to you about Catholic Church being wrong or something, or the Protestant Church being right on something, and they're giving you Bible verses all over the place, and you can't really follow them because you don't read the Bible as much as they do, all you have to do is say, are you infallible? And when they say no, you say, so everything you're telling me right now is basically just your opinion.
Yeah, it's subject to error.
Yeah, and it's subject to error. And so you're not telling me, you know, they'll read the Bible and they'll say, what that means is. It's like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. No. The Bible doesn't say what you just said. you read the Bible verse and then you said what that means is, in other words, you're not going by the Bible. You're going by your personal, private, fallible opinion of what the Bible says.
So let me ask you this big, you know, $64,000 question. And that is, why is the Catholic Church an infallible authority?
Catholic Church is an infallible authority because Jesus endowed the church with his authority. You can see that in Matthew, when just before he ascends into heaven, he says, I have all authority in heaven and on earth, so go therefore. He gives them his authority. In John 20, verses 21 to 23, he says, he breathes on them and he gives them authority. You know, Jesus says to Peter in John 21, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. Well, who does that? The shepherd. So Jesus is appointing Peter the shepherd. In Luke, Luke 10. I get them confused sometimes. But when Jesus sends out the disciples, he tells them, he who hears you, hears me.
Mm.
So that means they have to be speaking with an infallible authority, because whoever hears them speak on matters of faith and morals is hearing Jesus speak.
Yes.
So that's the authority he gave the church. And then again, back to Matthew 18, take it to the church. Well, why the church? Because Jesus gave the church his authority.
And he promised he would send the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Who would guide them.
The Holy Spirit, that's John 14, John 16, and guide them into all truth. And then in Matthew 16, he gives Peter the keys of the kingdom, and he says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if his church is teaching error, then Satan, who is the father of all lies, and the gates of hell have prevailed against the church.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having a holy conversation with you. John Martinoni is with us today. John's with us the last Tuesday of every month. We invite you to join us. It's our apologetics offering on Women of Grace Live, and we really, really do learn quite a bit from John. So don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. Michael McCall is call screening today. He is also retrieving your questions. The man is very busy retrieving your questions from EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We like keeping him busy, so please do give him a call, 833-288-EWTN. Well, John, I think that Marnie is waiting, has been waiting for a little bit here. I want to get to Marnie. Marnie is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Marnie is a first-time caller today, so we're going to ring our little bell for Marnie, and I'm going to just, here it comes. It's coming. Rich is going to make it happen today. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, thank you, Rich. Thank you, Marnie, for calling. Let's get her question. Hey, Marnie, how are you? Hello, Marnie? Marnie? Hi. Are you there?
Well, she's back on hold.
She's back on hold. So we're going to get her back in just a second there. But here is a question that came in through YouTube. This is Michael. Why do those who believe in Scripture alone have issues with John chapter 6?
Well, they have issues with John chapter 6. And I was just in a prolonged discussion about this chapter with a Protestant on Facebook the last couple weeks. And just kept asking him. He talks about, you know, in John 6, early on in the chapter, Jesus says, anyone who eats of this bread, which has come down from heaven, will not hunger. And he says, well, you've eaten the bread. Have you gotten hungry again? I said, yeah. He goes, so Jesus isn't talking about his flesh. He's talking about spiritual stuff. And he said, so when you go to John 6, verse 51, 52, where Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood, he's drinking spiritually. So I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you this. In John 6, 51, Jesus says the bread which he will give is his flesh, which he will give for the life of the world. I said, when did he give his flesh for the life of the world? And he said, on the cross. I said, well, was his flesh on the cross real or was it symbolic, only spiritual? He says, well, it was real. And I said, okay, let's take your answer and put it back into John 6:51. So Jesus is saying, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And this bread is the flesh which I am giving on the cross for the life of the world. My real flesh. I said, so he's talking about his real flesh. I said, so go back to where you were, John 6, verse 30, 33 and all. I said, yes, he's talking metaphorically, but he's also talking actually. I said, it's both symbol and reality. I said, and that's what we say about the Eucharist. The Eucharist is both symbol and real. You know, the fact that we have the chalice and the bread, the wafer, that's symbolizing the separation of the blood from the body. It's symbolizing the death of Jesus. I said, but both of those are really the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. So it's both symbol and reality. I said, so, and then he started arguing, no, it's symbol in John 6:50. I said, you just said it was real. He goes, well, it's both. And I'm like, it can't be both. You know, so it's just, so the reason they have a problem with John 6 is because it is so clear from the context, from his words, from how the people around him reacted, that he was speaking literally when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, they didn't understand how what he was saying could be possible, but they understood that he was saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, everybody around him who heard him that day, Johnette, was like, oh, wow, this, you know, what's going on here? What's he saying? The Jews think he's crazy. His own disciples leave him. He turns to the apostles and said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter's, what did Peter say? Oh, no, we know you're speaking symbolically. No, he goes, where would we go? You know, it's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I have enough faith in you that I know to believe in you. So, no, we're staying with you.
Well, and, you know, it also says in Scripture that nothing is impossible with God.
Yes.
So why would this be impossible?
Yes.
The fact that we can't comprehend it doesn't mean it isn't possible.
Right.
I cannot comprehend how a rocket, you know, leaves the launch pad over there on the east coast of Florida and goes up into the sky. I cannot comprehend it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't do it.
Yeah, I can't comprehend how an aircraft carrier made of steel weighing tens of thousands of tons can float in the water. How does that happen? I mean, yeah, water displacement, all that stuff, but it still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't
to me.
Make any
but
sense.
But it happens.
It's exactly true. So the fact of the matter is, you know, nothing is impossible with God. God determined that this is the way it should be. Jesus tells us so. Why do we not want to believe it? I know why. Because if you believe it, you're going to come back and you're going to come back to the church. You're going to come
yes.
to the church. You don't want to do that. Because only a priest who's received the authority by way of the sacrament of holy orders has the capacity, the power, it's Jesus' authority in him to take a simple host and wine and have it become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful thing. Marnie is back with us. Let's
okay.
get Marnie up here. First time caller, Marnie, as we said, is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, listening to us today via Sirius XM Station 130. Hi, Marnie, are you there?
Yes, Johnette, I'm here.
I'm so glad.
Yes, I heard the bell ring,
oh,
so
I'm
that
so
made
glad.
My day. I have a question for John. My doctor, who I thought was a very devout Catholic, we knew each other in the church and, you know, as him being my doctor, but I hadn't seen him for a long time. And when I went in for an appointment and said I hadn't seen him in a long time, he is now an evangelical.
Okay.
And that it's really been bothering me that he could have been drawn into that being a Catholic. So he was going on about the rapture last time I saw him. And if I, you know, if you don't see me next time, you'll know where I am and going
oh,
on and on and
oh,
on.
Oh, dear.
And so I need to have some help on how to respond to him, because I want to. And, John, I've got your book, and I've started reading it. But this particular subject I really need some help on.
Okay. If you've got my first book, there should be a chapter on the rapture. So check that out. Also, you could go to my website, BibleChristianSociety.com, and you can either download the talk or get a CD if you've still got a CD player, or if your doctor does, that you could give him one. And the talk is called The Rapture and the Bible. But real quick, what you can do is when the Left Behind books that were written, that sold tens of millions of copies, that so many Protestants base their rapture theory on, rapture belief on. If you go to Matthew 24 and you start reading in verse 37 and following, it says, as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, so that is a very important verse, which they all overlook. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were giving in marriage, drinking, eating, until the day when Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One is taken, one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken, one is left. Oh my goodness, the rapture. They're taken up in the rapture, and you're left behind. You don't want to be left behind. Well, here's the key, is that phrase that he starts off with, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So the coming of the Son of Man, this rapture that they're talking about here, is going to be like the days of Noah. Well, in the days of Noah, after the flood, who was left behind? Noah and his family, right? The good guys were left behind. Who was taken away? Who was swept away by the flood? The bad guys. The bad guys were taken. The good guys were left behind. Then in the same thing in Luke 17, it talks about the days of Noah and the days of Lot will be like the coming of the Son of Man. Well, the story of Lot, after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, who was left behind? Good guys or bad guys? Good guys, Lot and his daughters. Who was taken away? Who was destroyed? The bad guys. And you combine that with Matthew 13, verse 40. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. So the ones who are taken are being gathered by these angels to be thrown into the furnace of fire. You do not want to be raptured in that sense, okay? You want to be left behind if there is a rapture like what the Protestants are talking about. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And wasn't there also the original language? Wasn't there something about the buzzards?
What is that? That's in Revelation 2, I think. I think that's Matthew 24. Yes, and I can't remember what verse that is, but what I'm telling you is keep it as simple as possible. What you can do is you can go into your dentist and read the chapter that I have on rapture, on the rapture in my book. Go into your dentist and say, I got a question for you. I've been listening to this talk or reading this book on the rapture, and it kind of says that, you know, this left behind thing, that you want to be left behind because in the days of Noah, the good guys were left behind. In the days of Lot, the good guys were left behind. The bad guys were taken. What do you think about that? And then just listen to what he says and take notes. And then call back the next Tuesday, last Tuesday of the month when I'm here, and say, okay, this is what he said, and I can tell you how to reply to that as well. But what you'll do is you'll plant a seed.
Yeah.
And that's all you're trying to do. You're not trying to convince him, close the argument. You just want to plant the seed. So keep it as simple as possible. Ask one or two questions, and then let him, you know, chew on that for a while.
And I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It says, then we who are alive and remain.
Who are left, it says in many translations.
Right. So let's use that. Those who are left shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are left,
yeah.
Not those who have been wiped away or taken.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of like an inversion of what Scripture is saying. So the whole rapture, and it's a theory that came, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in the 1800s.
1850s, 60s,
yeah. Yeah, so it's a newfangled heresy. Well, if you will, I mean, it's a misteaching. What happened here?
It's the exact opposite of what Scripture says.
Yeah.
So read my chapter in the book on the rapture, and then go in and just ask a couple questions and see what happens.
My gracious, I'm listening to this music, and it's like, what happened here? The show is over. John, this was great. Thank
you
so much. I did too. Marnie, thank you for your very, very good question. I hope that helps all of you. We do not teach the rapture in the Catholic Church. So if you're Catholic and you're listening and you got this rapture thing running around in your head, get it out of your head. I mean, it's not really even based in Scripture. John just showed you why it isn't. So I hope that that's a very, very helpful tidbit for you to take away and to share with others. Always great to have you, John.
Always good to be here, Johnette.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Friends, we're going to be with you tomorrow. Looking forward to it. God bless you now. Bye-bye.